I want to talk about the development of the MPH biostatistics competencies and a little bit about how they're being used. Here are the authors, lots of authors on this paper, and most of these people were also on the work group that developed the competencies, so there are a few in this room, I know. Primarily what we wanted to do as a part of this project is increase accountability, kind of systematize a little bit the proliferation of competency-based training, try to deal with some things that would be new, deal with the recommendations of the IOM. This dealt with the whole competency project, not just the biostat projects. Increase incorporation of competencies into accreditation, and I will talk about that a little bit later. And also then the development of a voluntary credentialing exam, and I'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So each work group was charged to identify 8 to 10 sub-competencies related to knowledge, skills, and other characteristics critical to indicating accomplishment of the core competency. We had the competencies in the five core areas of public health, biostatistics, epidemiology, healthcare management and policy, environmental health, and social and behavioral health. So I was chairing just the biostat competency group. And again, this is intended to be a resource for schools to use. ASPH is not prescribing that these be used, although I'll tell you some reasons why many of the schools of public health are adopting these competencies in a little bit. And these are competencies that every MPH student ought to be able to do, not just students in biostats. These are not specifically for students in biostat programs. They are for all MPH graduates, and that was the focus of all of the competencies. And we tried to look for a unique set of applied knowledge, skills, and other attributes grounded in theory and evidence for the broad practice of public health. That was the definition that was used for the competencies. And so what we tried to do is figure out that at graduation, an MPH student, what they ought to be able to know, what they should be able to do, and value and appreciate, although we'll have to say that there are very few competencies in here that do relate to the last category there. Most of them are in the first category. I think we have some that are in the second category, but I think we have very few in the third category. We don't have one that says that students after an MPH will love biostatistics any more than when they came in. Maybe we should have had one like that. There were two phases in this process in 2004-2005. We had phase one where we dealt with the discipline-specific competencies, and these are the five core areas. And then there was a second phase that looked at the cross-cutting competency areas that were kind of identified through the IOM report a few years ago. And I'll list these here. Here were the chairs of the different phase one, the core groups. We also sent out a request to deans and associate deans to nominate faculty to be members of the work groups, and we had 135 different individuals in phase one that had various involvement in this. We identified a total of 48 competencies in the five areas. We did a three-round Delphi process, kind of a modified Delphi process, where we had individuals kind of vote whether or not they thought the competency should stay in, whether or not that should be edited, and so forth. And we went through this three times and really got a pretty good response rate from most of the individuals involved. So, and again, for the both phases, there were a total of 12 work groups with 332 participants. And again, we used a modified Delphi process. And then we had an expert panel, which were basically the core competency directors and so forth, and we also had a lot of work help from the ASPH Education Committee. This was coordinated by Judith Calhoun, who's a faculty member at the University of Michigan. She kind of guided us through this whole process. And again, we formed the work groups. We went through the Delphi rounds and so forth, and again, we came up with 48 discipline specific competencies for the five core areas, and then 70 cross-cutting competencies. Then here are the five core areas that I mentioned, and here are the cross-cutting domains that we also developed competencies on. And the definition that we used for biostatistics was the development and application of statistical reasoning and methods in addressing, analyzing, and solving problems in public health, healthcare, and biomedical, clinical, and population-based research. That's a pretty broad definition. I'm not real sure that our competencies cover all of those, but that was the definition that we used. Here were the competencies that we came up with. One, describe the roles biostatistics serves in the discipline of public health. Two, describe basic concepts of probability, random variation, and commonly used statistical probability distributions. Describe preferred methodological alternatives to commonly used statistical methods when assumptions are not met. Distinguish among the different measurement scales and the implications of selection of statistical methods to be based on these distinctions. Number five, apply descriptive techniques commonly used to summarize public health data. Six, apply common statistical methods for inference. Seven, apply descriptive and inferential methodologies according to the type of study designed for answering the particular research question. Number eight, apply basic informatics techniques with vital statistics and public health records in the description of public health characteristics and in public health research and evaluation. This was actually the last one that was added. The initial group really did not have that, and then when ASPH asked other individuals to get involved, we had an individual who vehemently insisted that we include vital records and so forth in these. Nine, interpret results of statistical analyses found in public health studies. And 10, develop written and oral presentation based on statistical analyses for both public health professionals and educated lay audiences. You can see these are really quite general kinds of things. But here's how they're being used. Those of you who are in CEF-accredited programs and schools know that there have been a new set of criteria set for the accreditation. All degrees in schools of public health have to be competency-based, including doctoral degrees and everything. So many schools have adopted the use of particularly the core five core areas as the competencies for use in this. Now, CEF doesn't specify which competencies are going to be used, and it's also fine with CEF if they modify these, or if they add to them, or if they delete them. So it's not a requirement that these be used, but many of the schools are going to using these. Also then they're being used for course development. I know that I've tried to incorporate all of these into my course, and I show where in the course I try to deal with each one of these competencies. And I think one of the things, though, is that these competencies are now being used as a content validity blueprint for the new National Board of Public Health Examiner's competency test that will be given for the first time this coming August. I also serve on the board of on this national board developing this test. So we are writing items based primarily on these competencies. So that's another reason why I think a lot of schools will go to using these competencies if the certification exam is also based on these. So, this is how you can get some information on the competencies project and also on the exam. I meant to bring handouts, and I would be glad to, if you want to just email me, I'd be glad to send you a set of these slides. It's just Barnett, Barnett, at uab.edu.
Thank you very, very much. And we don't have to stay up for any questions.
Oh, okay, we're doing questions now?
Well, yes, okay. I think because we have some extra time here. Anybody have any questions about the biostatistics competencies or anything else?
Let me say one more thing. As we've been starting to work with these, we realize already that there's needs for modifying some of these. I know that when I teach, I think, well, wait a minute, that really is not in the competencies in a way that I think it should be. So these actually will probably be revised in another 2 or 3 years, I guess, for all of the areas, and we can kind of revisit these. Yes, I'm one of the item writers, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, ASPH is developing a study guide for the exam that should be available in January. And even though we're not really able to kind of tell them exactly what the items are, they are developing the study guide based on the competencies. And I know that there have been some issues with the study guide already, because for one thing, the actual exam will not require a calculator. And I think some of the items that are in the study guide that ASPH is putting out, someone told me that you do need a calculator, because some of the items are asking you to calculate the sum of squares. And well, we would certainly not ask that students do that on the national board exam. We don't have time to have students be spending a lot of time with calculations. But there is that one that I know is coming out. I get calls every once in a while from publishers that want to develop these study guides as well, so I think there may be more in the future. Also, as we kind of get a little bit more of a history of the exam, we'll be putting out some sample exams. And there will be some example items that'll be on the ASPH website along with the study guide. And there are items on the study guide, and there's a CD that goes with it that will kind of try to give you the real feel of taking the exam on the computer.
I'm just going to ask the speakers to repeat the question once it's asked, because it's being recorded.
This exam, she asked if there was going to be a for people who currently have their MPH. This is an exam for both current students and graduates. You have to be a graduate of a CEF-accredited school or public health to take the exam. And also there is for new schools coming on and programs, there's a 3-year retroactive period. So, for example, if a school were accredited today, any graduate from the past 3 years from that school would be eligible to take the exam. I just went through, I chair the Research and Evaluation Committee of the board, and so it's going to be my job to kind of see how all of this works. And I just went through the first registration data the other day, and it was really interesting to see that the age range of individuals who've already signed up to take the exam is 22 to 64. And 17% of the individuals are over 50 years old. So clearly there is a group of people that are in public health practice, because most of our graduates aren't quite that old. Some are. But clearly many of the individuals taking the exam have been in practice. But you are required to have a master's or above. 84% of the first group of registrants had the MPH. But we had probably 7 or 8% were PhD students that were going to take this as well. Yes?
Just a comment. Over in the acquisition area, they're actually registering teachers. There's a group and an information table. And if you register, they told me to register now, but we've got study guides for free.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's in with the schools and colleges of public health. We have our booth there. And you're right, we are trying to get people to register now, and they'll get a free copy of the ASPH student guide if they register during this week. And also, we extended the lowest registration fee of $300, and on November 10th it'll go to $350, and January 1st it'll go to $400. Also, let me mention one more thing. The members of the board are going around to different schools to give talks and so forth at the board expense. So, you know, if you're interested in me or somebody else coming to your school to talk about the exam, we'd be glad to work that out. I've been to 3 or 4 schools already giving that kind of speech, and we have other board members that are doing the same thing, but we'd be happy to do that.